want to thank everyone for getting on the call. My name is Tom Conway. I'm the regional program manager for the Blue-Green Alliance in Indiana and Illinois. The BGA is a partnership between labor unions and environmental organizations dedicated to expanding the number and quality of jobs in a clean energy economy. And thanks again for joining us to talk about kind of one specific and crucial component of the overall concept of a clean energy economy, and that's freight rail. Americans are anxious to see real job creation in the immediate future. They're looking for smart, long-term plans to ensure we don't slip back into a rut as the economy gets going again. These plans can vary widely, both between and within parties in Washington, but freight rail expansion is a bipartisan issue. Moving our country to a cleaner method of shipping goods that will reduce our dependence on foreign oil, create good jobs, and ensure businesses can be competitive is an effort that is supported by people across the political spectrum. Joining us today are representatives from the Steelworkers and the Sierra Club, founding organizations of the BGA, to explain what increased freight rail transportation means to their organizations. From the United Steelworkers District 7, we have Robin Rich, and from the Hoosier chapter of the Sierra Club, Bowden Quinn. Thanks again, Robin and Bowden, for joining us on the call. Robin, would you kind of get it started by telling us why the United Steelworkers and other labor partners of the BGA see such potential in the expansion of the freight rail?
No, absolutely. Basically, with the unemployment still standing at 9.5%, we need to do a lot more to create good jobs in Indiana. And we're here today to highlight how investments in smart rail, freight rail policies in particular, can do that. The report by the Blue-Green Alliance and the Economic Policy Institute, the EPI, shows that investments in freight rail will create green jobs and reduce dependence on foreign oil and contribute to reducing our dependence on foreign oil. And the studies show that an estimated 7,800 green jobs are created for every $1 billion of freight rail capital investment, which are jobs created directly and throughout supplier industries as a result of freight rail spending, including manufacturing, construction, iron and steel, and others. And here locally in Indiana, United Steelworkers from Local 2003 at ASF Keystone and Hammond make springs for rail cars, and my local 6787 in Gary, rolls plate steel, which is used to manufacture rail cars. Further south, about an hour and a half south in Logansport, members of Local 7.7-7 work at Transco Railway Products, and they repair rail cars and manufacture replacement parts. And over in LaPorte, ATI Casting Services, which a lot of people know about because they build hubs for wind turbines in the wind industry, that local also casts diesel engine blocks for the freight rail industry. Further growth can be expected in the trades, such as carpenters and laborers laying track and building supporting infrastructure. And a lot of us are quite interested in the infrastructure that needs to be built to get a lot of our rail lines raised off of our roads. The same $1 billion rail investment can create between 12,300 and 26,000 total jobs throughout the economy. We really feel strongly that investment should be made in freight rail, and we should adopt common sense policies like tax credits for rail capital investments targeted to support freight rail capacity expansion specifically. This will help spur investment in rail and create good jobs for people in Indiana who are struggling in this economy. That's basically what the steelworkers feel.
Great. Thanks a lot, Robin. Sounds like a lot of good job potential. Bowden, I'd like to open can you explain kind of some of the environmental gains that we can expect by increasing freight rail capacity in the U.S.?
Sure. The big gains to be made, the cost-effective gains to be made in all areas of energy consumption are in efficiency. And freight rail has been working for a long time in improving its efficiency. And it's really the most efficient, cost-effective way for moving freight, especially long distances. A ton of freight can be moved 480 miles per gallon of fuel consumed, and this is just way ahead of of trucks or aviation. And so that results, of course, in lower pollution per ton of freight moved and lower carbon emissions to avert the problem of climate change. So this is a very important way for us to move forward in both reducing our impact on the environment and also to reduce our dependence on foreign oil. We're spending $1 billion a day on foreign oil. And transportation is responsible for more than two-thirds of that. So cutting down our use of foreign oil is important both for national security reasons as well as the environment. And the other big opportunity that improvements in freight rail, improving the freight rail system offers is having a combination with passenger rail. Now, here in Indiana, we move a lot of freight by rail, but we don't have passenger rail service, and we hope or very much of it. And so we really hope that we can form a kind of public-private partnership with improving freight rail and also improving our passenger rail, especially with high-speed rail. And going forward, you could have government investments. Government would pay for the public benefits of having high-speed passenger transportation, and freight rail could pay for the private benefits of moving the freight. So we think this offers a lot of opportunity, and it will result in a lot of good impacts for the environment.
Great. Thanks a lot, Don. I'd like to open the call to any members of the press joining us if there are any questions for Robin or Bowden.
This is Keith Bedman at the Times in Munster, Indiana.
Hi, Keith.
How you doing today? I have several questions. Do you want me to ask one and then wait for my turn again, or do you want me to ask them all?
Why don't you go ahead and ask them all.
Okay. Just, Robin, to go over the names of those three companies you named locally. One was Hammond ASTF Keystone.
ASF Keystone.
ASF Keystone. Do you know how many folks are employed there or how many union members?
No, but I can get that real quick after we hang up.
Okay, and then ATI Casting in LaPorte was the other one.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a third company you named locally up here.
Well, Local 6787, which is the old Bethlehem Steel that's in Burns Harbor, has a plate mill.
Oh, 6787.
Yeah, but they have a plate mill in Gary that specifically that is connected with that local that's out of the U.S. Steel facility.
Okay, so plate mill here. Okay.
Right.
If you can give me employment numbers on any of
it's actually ArcelorMittal, though, right, Tom? I mean, that's the ArcelorMittal piece of the U.S. Steel land there.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's middle.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, ArcelorMittal.
Yeah, if you can email me job numbers on any of those employers, I'll take them.
Definitely.
You hit on, any of you can answer this, but Bowden hit on something, this cooperation or this effort to increase the benefits to passenger service and rail, freight rail at the same time, how is that likely to work? Sometimes people see those as competing interests.
Right.
Go ahead, Bob.
They really shouldn't be seen as competing. I mean, even now, passenger and freight rail systems share a lot of the rails, and it really is something that should be coordinated better and should be developed in tandem. So the government certainly has a role in planning how to invest and how to improve our passenger rail system, but the private freight rail companies are willing to work with the government in making sure that we use this infrastructure, this transportation infrastructure, to its fullest capacity.
And hold on. And we do have a project locally under the high-speed stimulus program. In fact, it's the only one in Indiana. It's the Porter Junction in Porter, Indiana, just east of Gary. And that's basically, those are NS tracks that are also used by Amtrak.
Uh-huh.
Do you guys know anything about that project? Do you want to comment on it at all? It's a $71 million project from there to the Illinois border.
No, I'm sorry. I'm not familiar with that project.
Okay. And, you know, with the change in the lineup in Congress, with Republicans in control of the House and some Republican governors are saying they're going to reject high-speed rail money, what impact is that going to have on this effort?
Well, I'm hoping. I mean, I think I've heard that from Ohio and maybe Wisconsin. I'm hoping that Governor Daniels takes advantage of that opportunity and we get that money here in Indiana.
Okay.
We think it's a bipartisan issue. When you look at there has been a stated bipartisan goal of reducing foreign oil dependence, and this fits in with that tremendously. When you look at how much less fuel is used to move freight through rail rather than on the road.
Hey, one more question. I lined up here. I looked at your report. In fact, I read it through. And one thing you do notice that in rail, there's really a low proportion of women employed. In direct jobs, it's just 12% of the workforce. Is there anything being done to address that?
No, but there should be.
Okay.
I don't know. Actually, I don't know if anything is being done, but, you know, we believe that there should be equal opportunity for everybody to get those good jobs, family-supporting jobs, and we support that all the way.
Okay.
And there have been women working in the rails before, and they should be again. And women work in all of our manufacturing plants, and manufacturing is, I mean, I have to look at that piece of it, but, you know, we have had larger numbers of women working in manufacturing in the past, and it needs to get back up there again because they're family-supporting jobs.
Okay, I think I'm done if anybody else wants to.
Hi, Eric Berman at Network Indiana. I'll pick up where Keith left off. Robin, thanks for joining us, first off. How specific are you folks being with this? Are you endorsing the general concept of freight rail, or is there a specific amount of money or miles of track that you're proposing for Indiana?
This is mostly kind of supporting the general idea of freight rail expansion. There will be a lot of different pieces of legislation and plans presented, and we're hoping, you know, this kind of spurs more of those introduced and more of these ideas thrown out here. But we are not kind of supporting any kind of direct number of tracks laid or anything like that in this report. There are some bills out there that we hope Indiana congressmen and our senators will work to get passed. One of those, kind of off the top of my head, is the capacity expansion tax credit, the House Bill H.R. 1806, which is just kind of a basic tax credit for companies that invest in freight rail capacity expansion. It's kind of business-friendly, common-sense policies like that we think will help to grow this industry and give us the benefits that Robin and Bowden have laid out for us.
But without a specific amount of miles envisioned, there's also not a specific estimate for jobs in Indiana, correct? I think you had a national estimate, but there's no even state estimate, right?
No, I don't have a specific number of jobs estimated for Indiana outlined in the report, no.
Why should companies put down track in Indiana? You've outlined the environmental benefits, but if I'm a railroad or an industry in Indiana, why is this a better plan for me than using truck traffic and getting much closer to my destination than being limited to where the tracks would go?
Robin, it's the fuel economy is one thing that comes to mind for me, that Biden is addressing, freight being a more fuel efficient means to transport goods. There's a lot of manufacturing that goes on in Indiana. I think a network of established freight rail lines would give them, kind of long-term signals on where they're going to be shipping their product to, and a costing signal on what it's going to cost them to transport their product and where they need to be investing. For a rail company like NSF, it operates heavily in Indiana. I think, hopefully we'll see some growth in manufacturing in the state, as we are kind of up in the northern part of the state tied to clean energy technologies. Those are products we're going to be shipping all over the world. And a strong freight rail infrastructure will make us more cost competitive globally.
If it's a winner for them, why haven't they done it already?
Well, they are, actually. We're hoping that we can put policies in place to assist them in doing so more rapidly. 25% of the capital invested in the freight rail industry goes into capacity expansion, and that's where that H.R. 1806 tax credit bill comes into play. It's, ease off on their taxes, and they'll be able to put even more money into capacity expansion than they already are. And they are putting, truthfully, the freight rail industry as a whole has invested a lot of money into research and development and these economy, fuel economy technologies that than comparatively most other transportation industries. So they are doing that, and this report and the policies outlined in it, and this kind of idea is one of speeding that along by smart policies that, we need immediate job growth in this country, and we think freight rail is one of the areas that we can look to see that they have a good plan, they're doing the right things, and let's help them continue to do that and create more jobs quicker.
The EPI study, I believe you said that was 7,800 jobs for every $1 billion in investment. Do I have that correct?
Yes. Every $1 billion in freight rail capital investment creates 7,800.
Is that worth the investment? And by my math here, that's about $128,000 per job. Are we getting a good deal there, bad deal?
It's funny because the steelworkers is strongly supportive of the development of green jobs. The part of why we're in favor of it is to reduce climate change. We think that that's going to be a disaster for our entire economy and our communities. And so part of the benefit is the improvement of the environment and reducing greenhouse gases. And you can't hardly argue with the figures of how much reduction in greenhouse gases happens when you shift to freight rail. I don't know all the numbers of how much money it takes to create every job, but the belief is that, and there's some good studies to support it, that every job that you create in manufacturing creates 3 to 5 or more other jobs. Manufacturing, it has a synergy that goes beyond just the initial direct job that's created. So, we think it's worth it. The 7,800, I believe, is just the direct jobs.
I'll pass the ball back to Keith or whoever else is on the line. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Thanks, everyone, very much for getting on the call and your time and your interest in this topic.
Hey, thanks a lot.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.